Welcome, all the gamers, to the All the Gaming Podcast, the podcast that's all about the discussion of video games and other gaming topics. I am Dale White, the advocate for insanity. We've got another great episode for you this week. And of course, returning to the podcast once again to be talking about today's topic, which will be something very different than anything he's talked about here on the podcast in the past. Coming back to the podcast again, Brett Lucarelli, Serial SC. Welcome back. How's it going?
What is going on? Man, glad to be back. It's been too long.
Yeah, it's been a minute, but of course, this time around, you didn't come alone. And you also have your friend and business partner here, Matt Riley, Maverick. Welcome to the podcast. How's it going?
Thanks. It's going good. Excited to talk about some stuff.
All right, so today we're going to be talking about the company, the sort of, I guess, esports organizing, brand management thing, Latency, that you've created.
I really like that really short description of it from an outsider perspective.
It's a thing. I don't know what that thing is, but it's a thing.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, this is your baby. Kind of ignorant to a lot of this. Hopefully by the end of this, I won't be as ignorant. So I guess the first thing just to kind of kick this off is like, would be to ask you guys what exactly Latency is.
I'll field this one. So Latency is something that kind of Brett and I have been working on for a while. When you think of the word esport organization, right, you think of teams that have like content creators or competitive teams. And Latency is not that. Latency is a company that's come around to provide not only professional services for esport organizations and teams and streamers and content creators, but it's a company to provide tournaments and events that are run at a professional level, but that amateur and casual players alike can kind of be a part of.
Yeah, one of the things we found is that there's not a real like one-stop shop, if you will, kind of in the esports scene. So we kind of wanted to create that. We saw that void and we wanted to fill that niche, I guess, if you will, with, you know, a company that provides, like Matt said, services specifically to esports teams. We've got tournament organization, both internal tournaments and tournaments that we will provide for other companies and teams. And then just the whole, you know, the esports aspects, things that teams are missing, like branding and you know, media management and things like that. So it's a big vision, but we try to narrow it down and really pay attention to certain things. And we're just excited to talk about it, man.
Nice. It sounds like it might be a good way for somebody who's interested in getting into that world of esports that hasn't really got their foot wet, but can't really find a way to get into tournaments so they can kind of get started.
Exactly. Yeah. One of the things we kind of say regularly that's become almost a mission statement, even though it's not in our mission statement, it's really, we want to bring professional level tournaments and events to casual and semi-pro players that don't normally have that opportunity. So we want to bring awesome events where, you know, regular players can participate in things that they wouldn't normally have that opportunity to participate in, either because they don't have the financial means to get into those events, or maybe they don't have the esports resume to get into it, but we want to give them those opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, we've kind of built that kind of mentality twofold. That's something that we do externally, trying to provide those services. And it's something we do internally too with our own team. Our own team is, you know, they have experience in certain things and they don't have experience in other things. And they're really looking to get into working in esports too. So we've almost completely encompassed that mentality in what Latency does.
Nice. So one big thing I'm kind of curious is, how did you guys come together and how did you decide to start working on this?
Well, I think I'll have to take that one again. I had been doing kind of content creation for a few years now. I started in podcasting, actually, And that progressed into doing my own show, managing other shows and producing those, as well as dabbling in, you know, streaming and content creation. So I was meeting a lot of individuals that were in content creation, whether it was podcasters or YouTubers or streamers, what have you. And I was, you know, over the years, I've kind of accumulated an idea of what most creators kind of struggle with and what they need help with. And, you know, a couple of years ago, I had built kind of an esport guild where essentially we were just helping each other grow as creators. And I've had my fair share of experience with esport organizations as well. So, you know, my involvement in esports and gaming kind of ebbed and flowed over the years. And then I realized real quick that I could kind of use this knowledge in a way that was beneficial. In May of last year, I actually was asked by a company to produce a tournament for them. I had been kind of casually doing tournaments up until that point. And they had asked me to produce a tournament for them. And it kind of dawned on me that these things that I was doing kind of to help people, there were companies out there that wanted to pay me to help them. You know, I shifted gears a little bit and just started doing a lot of research. What do esport organizations need? What do competitors need? What's missing in the market? How do I fix it? And then I would say, you know, just before that, that's actually when I met Brett, was just before I was doing that kind of research. We met in a Facebook group, most likely one of the millions of Facebook groups that I barraged messages in. And, you know, we've been in and out of contact, I think, since then. From what we had talked about before, too, was the Discord server that I threw out as a test to see how different kinds of creators could kind of work together. That's, you know, kind of where different connections were made that I'm now currently learning happens.
Yeah, this podcast would not be happening right now if not for that server. So,
which is wild because I just learned about that right before this. But that's awesome. But yeah, that's kind of like around the time I met Brett. And so, you know, I had been building this thing for a couple months over the summer, and I got to a point where I was deep enough in the project where I started to realize there's no way I could possibly do this on my own. You know, up until this point, all my projects have always been a one-man show. And that was purely because I had a hard time having faith in other people's passions. I didn't see that they were as passionate about me or passionate as me about my project. So I decided to take a leap of faith and start looking for a business partner. And again, back to those Facebook groups, just dumping messages in there, seeing who came back. And that's how Brett and I kind of stumbled upon each other again and touched base and chatted a bit. And I shared kind of the idea, and he had almost the exact same passion as I had, I would say. And we've kind of just been developing that business partnership and latency since then, a couple months now. So it's been exciting.
And the crazy part about that is you'll find this a lot. So whenever you have an idea or you're looking for someone to help out, you make a post right on a Facebook group or whatever, and the amount of people that just write you off or laugh at you or say, man, what are you doing? Nobody wants to jump in with you or anything like that. So I'm kind of scrolling through and I see that, and I'm like, wait a minute. I know this guy. I recognize him. Okay. And I did my research and was like, oh yeah, this is a guy that did that thing a while back with where I met Dale, you know, in Syndicate. I was like, all right, well, let me reach out to him. Cause obviously I know that, you know, he, when he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. Right. So it was kind of because of that I reached out, even with all these other people just, you know, pretty much writing him off, and said, hey dude, I'm in. What do I do? Sign me up. Let's do an interview or whatever the next step is. That was just a few months ago. Crazy. But that was just, what was that? November, December, October, something like that, whenever that was.
Yeah. Like end of October. Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, so we spent, I'd say, about 3 weeks kind of building a little bit more together, assembling a team a little bit, and then we fully launched beginning of January with some of our events and our full team, and it's been an adventure and a learning process ever since, so it's been a blast, actually.
Sounds like things really came together pretty quick there, just back in December.
Yeah, I mean, we had I think I had spent a good amount of time researching the market a little bit for what I initially planned to do. So we had a good idea off the start of where we wanted to be. And it's essentially, we've been, you know, since the beginning, one of the things Brett and I have talked about is, let's just break this thing. Let's break it every single time we can, and, you know, find the problems and fix them. So, you know, we've thrown out ideas and we've tried them, and some of them work. Some of them work really well, and some don't work at all. that's kind of the fun of it. But, you know, neither of us are afraid to kind of make mistakes with this, because we know we can make it better once we make that mistake. So it's definitely allowed us to grow and fix things and work on this quicker than I think if I was still working alone. So,
right, for sure. I mean, I just, my interactions with Brett over the last couple of years, that's a guy who will encourage you to do whatever it is you want to do, for sure. Like, just even if he's not directly working with you, which he is, like, with you, just having an interaction with him, he will find a way to get you inspired, it seems like.
For
I
sure.
I appreciate that. I just need someone to do that for me. No, I feed off of it from other people. So I don't know. Just the way I was raised, man. That's what I was always taught. Positivity breeds positivity. And I mean, you know, you gotta just go for it. Whatever it is, you'll never know. I always say this is the weirdest analogy, I guess you'll say, or a little piece of information that I held with me for years and years. So when going into a job interview, and I may have even mentioned this in the past on the podcast, Dale, because it's really stuck with me, such a weird thing from somebody like George Clooney, of all people, who taught me a piece of information. And basically the question to ask to George Clooney at some point in his career was like, you know, when you go in to interview for something, you know, how do you feel? How do you combat the anxiety, you know, of this job interview? Because, you know, at this point in your career, you're still having to go in an interview. And he said, you know what? He said, before I walk in the door, I don't have the job. If I walk out of the door and I still didn't get the job, nothing changed. Absolutely nothing changed. And as silly as that sounds, that's been something that really stuck with me. You know what? Give it a shot. The worst thing that happens is you end up back where you were anyway when you didn't give it a shot. You might as well just try, because something good might come of it.
I suppose that's like really important to what you guys are doing from a lot of different aspects, not just from kind of trying to help with branding and stuff, but also trying to get players to make that step to go into a tournament, really, in a way, because a lot of it, that can be nerve-wracking if you've never competed before.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you have players that, you know, are thinking, oh, well, I can't win. You know, I don't have a chance. Well, how do you know? I mean, what does it hurt if you try? You get to play a game that you enjoy playing anyway. If you go in and you get knocked out in the first round, then that's a learning experience for you. You can say, okay, well, maybe, you know, maybe there are things I can do to elevate myself to that next level. And maybe you learned that takeaway kind of from there. For me, I've always enjoyed, you know, I don't want to constantly be the best at something. I wouldn't want to continually win. It would get boring over time, as weird as that sounds. But you don't want to do that. You know, you want to be challenged. And whenever you're challenged, you stick with it, because it's like a mountain you're trying to climb or something you're trying to do that you've never done before. So, you know, for me, going in and getting knocked out the first round is a way better learning experience than going in and winning the first time I ever did it. So, you know, for me, like I said, I like to try that. I want to see, you know, gauge myself. Where am I? Am I even close? Do I have a chance here? But you don't know until you try. So we definitely encourage people to get in there and give it a shot, whether it's our tournaments or anyone's. I mean, it doesn't matter. This doesn't just speak to latencies events. I mean, this is anything. Just give it a shot. Just try it. What's the worst that's going to happen?
So something I'm really curious on. Well, first, I guess before getting to that, what games are you guys planning and organizing tournaments for at the moment currently?
Yeah, so this is one of those questions, right? So we've, you know, we currently have Overwatch. We had Halo, and, you know, this is kind of something that we continuously kind of watch, is, and it kind of steers our decision on adding games, is what is the state of this games community? What is the state of the game? You know, are there big updates coming out? Are there new DLC or expansion packs? What does the game look like? So we initially took that leap of faith with Overwatch, and although it's a game that I will say doesn't necessarily have a lot of growth right now, it's been going well for us. So we, you know, we decided to add two more games, Halo and Rocket League. And Halo was one of those games where we did an event or two, and we realized, look, this is going to be really hard. You know, the state of the community is not looking for what we're doing right now. So let's try and find when that next update for this game is, and let's start. Let's push it back to then. Let's start over right then when that new update comes out and people are looking for those things to do. So, you know, we have a plan to reinstate Halo in mid to late May. And I think I can share the other two games. We're actively working on adding individuals to kind of run our Rocket League community, as well as Valorant. So those should be coming in the next couple weeks. And as for other games, you know, we've got a whole list in our back pocket of games we want to add, you know, MOBAs, battle royales, even indie games. So, you know, it's really what's the state of the game, and how can we provide an opportunity for that games community? You know, so it's an evolving question.
Definitely. And, you know, obviously you mentioned, you know, Overwatch, Rocket League, Valorant, Halo. But, you know, one of the things that we've kind of taken pride in within the company is that we really like to find people that we think are a good fit for the team and kind of build around that. So we may put a post out on Hitmarker. Right now we have, what is it, Valorant and Rocket League are up there. Mm-hmm. But those may not be the next two games, or, you know, Valorant may not be the next game that's added on. It's really all about finding the right person for it. So we don't have a set roadmap that says, okay, this game is next, this game is after that, this game comes after that. I mean, we have ideas of games that we definitely want to add, but really we focus so heavily on adding the right people to the team, which I think we've done, in my opinion, a fantastic job of so far, because we have a super strong team, you know, supporting us for sure. And again, you know, it's all about just finding the right person and then fitting them in, you know, where they would fit within the community, within the game, and within the company.
Nice. So to kind of, I guess, keep it flexible in a way, in case for whatever reason you weren't prepared for something by a certain date, or you couldn't find that right person to help get things organized, but you did find the right person to get something organized for a different game.
Yeah, and definitely, I mean, and with that, we encourage anyone who's listening who may think that they would be a good fit. You know, if you see one of our posts on Hitmarker or anywhere like that, it doesn't matter what the game says. If it says, you know, just for example, if it says Fortnite, but you're like, yeah, I have nothing to do with Fortnite, but man, I'd love to join these guys and run. I'm trying to think of something like off the wall. I don't know, Hearthstone, completely different. Just put it, you know, just put the application in there anyway and get in touch with us and let's talk about it and see if we can make it fit. But to answer your question, yeah, I mean, sometimes there are, you know, you might say, oh, the new season of this is coming out. Like, for example, Overwatch 2, right? If and when that ever comes out, who really knows? We definitely want to be in place for that, right? We want to have someone kind of, we would think it would be beneficial for us and the community to have someone in place for that. But other than that, we try not to work around too harsh, you know, of deadlines for certain games. We just have a loose idea and we find the right people and we make it work.
I suppose you wouldn't want to force somebody who's not passionate about a certain game into trying to organize something that they just don't care about.
Yeah, that's something we talk about a lot with our team too, is, you know, that's kind of why we have the people we have on our team, is because they are passionate about something, whether it is esports or or if someone wants to kind of geek out about analytics, like that's totally cool too. It's that passion about something in their day that we really want in our team. It brings a really fun atmosphere and it helps us all out at the end.
I know you're talking about Jacob geeking out about analytics.
Yep. Our social media guy was, geeking out last night at our event analytics. So yep. it was awesome seeing that. He was having a blast.
So how would you guys go about looking for possible future games to add to your lineup of events?
So I think we can kind of use Valorant as an example for this. You know, we're whenever we do these interview processes, we kind of start by saying, you know, this is a really casual conversation. We're kind of, you know, don't be afraid to talk about other games and your experience with those other games and what you see in your particular market. You know, so we have these conversations with people in esports teams, TOs, admins, things like that have some sort of idea of the interest of their respective involvement in communities. And Valorant was one where we kind of realized, you know, Valorant's growing at a really, really steady rate all over the place. You know, it's huge. It's huge in the Asian markets right now. It's growing exponentially in Europe, and we're starting to see the growth here too in the US. So that was a game where we had already had teams and TOs kind of ask us, hey, when are you doing a Valorant tournament? Can we be in it? Can we do stuff? Like, involve us. We want to be involved. So that kind of immediately stuck out to us as like, okay, the interest is here. Our community's asking for it directly. So let's see if we can find someone that's passionate about it to help us, to join us and be part of the team. A lot of how we add those games is, you know, our own research and just monitoring those games. And a lot of it has to do too with what the community is looking for. If they're requesting something specific, we're going to look into it and see if we can do it. And that definitely, our community steers us in a lot of ways. And that's the main one.
I think that's a big part of it that you mentioned, the community steering us. So we're not, you know, we grabbed ourselves by our bootstraps, I guess you would say. And we're self-funded, right? So we don't have the corporate overlord telling us that we have to add this game next or this game next or this game next. You know, it's our baby, right? So we can kind of manipulate, I guess, like you said, the narrative of how we want it to look, you know, and pick the games that when we find the people, obviously I've said that a couple times, but you know, we're not being steered by someone else. You know, we don't have big investors that are looking for certain things. We don't have, like I said, corporate that's forcing us to go down a certain path. So because of that, we're able to really be engaged with the community, listen to what they want. You know, hey, you know, we're looking at this game. What do you guys think about this? Or, you know, maybe I have a person that would be a really good fit for this. So we're able to really be engaged and listen and kind of make changes and suggestions as the community talks about it.
All right. So one big thing, I guess, that I would really want to know here is how exactly are the events themselves structured? And does that depend on the game and how they function, or, you know, if it's team based versus like a solo one-on-one thing? How exactly are they structured in terms of rounds? You know, we're talking single or double elimination round robin style things, or more of a league type of structure where different teams or players will go up against each other, and then over time you figure out who is at the top of the rankings?
That's a great question. And I think this is where we really excel, I think, because what we've done is we've brought, as we talked about, everyone we bring into a game community as a community manager is really passionate about that game, which means that they are familiar with some of the other tournaments that are going on and maybe the structure of those. And we tell them in every time we interview, we say, listen, here's the thing we want from you as a game manager. We want you, as the organizer, to have the creative freedom to run the tournament that you want to run, which means we don't have to run the same tournament as Overwatch League or RLCS We don't have to run it in their format. So what we've done is we've allowed the managers to actually create their own formats for their own tournaments. So sometimes you'll see, even week to week, it might change. You might see a 2v2 tournament this week, and 2 weeks from now, you might see a 3v3 tournament. So, you know, having that creative freedom on the game manager side, I think, again, separates us from a lot of the other tournaments that just follow kind of the same, you know, cut and dry. Okay, this is what we know works. We're just going to use this same format across the board. Like, we don't, it's not boring because of that.
Yeah. And, you know, so we've requested that all of our TOs kind of, yeah, make those events themselves unique. The only thing that guides them is what we're calling our seasonal format. So there's X amount of qualifier events that are of a smaller scale, but they're, you know, weekly or biweekly, and the prize on those kind of ranges from a cash value for all of them. We'll always have a prize pool, and the winner or the first and second place individuals kind of get that preferential seating and free entry into our seasonal championship. So think of our seasonal championship as like fully produced, you know, casters, producers, observers, big time sponsors, big cash prize kind of event. It's that professional event that amateur competitors get to be a part of. You know, that's kind of what steered us into the direction of this seasonal format, is to allow these amateur teams to compete in professional tournaments. So we've kind of created the season around that without punishing people for missing an event.
Yeah, that seasonal championship is so huge. I mean, you're talking about an event that we spend multiple thousands. I mean, not a thousand, but like multiple in the thousands of dollars to put on an event that any casual gamer could be a part of. And again, that's an opportunity that just doesn't exist elsewhere.
I guess something we could add to that is specifically about those qualifiers, right? It's, you'll see a lot of leagues that kind of punish people for not getting involved right off the bat. And that wasn't really our hope. You know, we really wanted to reward people for even just playing once. So, you know, our seasonal format is definitely not a league. It's if you hear about it and we're in the middle of the season, you could still play in those, you know, last three events. And possibly if you win one of those, still gain entry to the seasonal championship. So, you know, no one's punished for hearing about the season late. You know, no one has to wait until the next season. It's really about being inclusive and allowing a lot of teams to play when they want to play and as many times as they want to play. So I think that's something that sets our format apart from most tournament formats.
I really like that. That way you don't have to say, hey, there's a season and I have to 100% be dedicated to the whole thing. You could see it and say, hey, I'm going to try this out. And maybe it works out, maybe it doesn't, but then you're not locked in.
Yeah, and that ties back to what Brett was saying about, you know, our TOs kind of customizing things and having creative control. You know, we're really looking to them to kind of set the time for those events too. It, you know, it 7 p.m. on a Friday might work 1 week, and then you'll say, okay, you know, let's switch up the time, see if we can include different people, more people. Let's do it at, you know, 2 p.m. on a Tuesday, you know. So really that being able to adjust what we're doing and being flexible with it to allow more people to get involved is really kind of what sets it apart and makes it fun.
So if someone were interested in participating in one of these events or getting involved here, how would they go about doing that?
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. If you're looking, if you're in, well, really any skill level, really, if you're looking to get involved in esports or just want to play in a casual event, all of that's on our website. So we have a dedicated events page that kind of breaks down all the games of the season. It'll tell you kind of approximate dates of when those events will be and when the championship will be. And we make kind of continuous announcements in our Discord and on Twitter about those events and when they'll be out. But all the registration and the rules and all the information is on our website.
And the cool thing too that we've done several times, we like to help out is, you know, let's say you're interested in a game, but you don't have a full team. Well, you can go and sign up as an individual and we'll place individuals together to form a team. We've done that in the past several times. And, you know, we'd love to help out if someone's like, oh man, I really want to play, but my friends either can't make it at this time or whatever, you know, whatever it is. So we'd definitely like to help out and make sure that we get them placed for a team.
I honestly hadn't even thought about that aspect because a lot of these team games, if you don't have the right team to go into a competitive type of setting, like all of your friends play the game, but maybe they only play it kind of casually. Maybe you want to go to that next level, but they're like, I don't know that I want to go that far. Like having a way to find other good teammates that you can count on would be really important.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, that's something that we take pride in as well is, you know, come sign up as an individual, just pop in and say, hey, I'm interested in playing in this tournament. You know, go in the looking for group and post something on there and say, hey, I want to play Halo, but I don't have a teammate. Anybody else want to play? You know, and maybe, of course, you know, everyone doesn't work with everyone. So especially when it comes to games like Overwatch, where there's very specific roles. But again, you know, we'd love to have you join on board and then we can get you placed with wherever it makes sense. And hopefully, I know some people, several actually, that have kind of became friends and teammates kind of from that and played in other events together after the fact. So, you know, it's cool to know that people kind of met each other in our Discord, you know, in our community and then turn that into, oh yeah, we're still playing games together. You know, we've been playing this and this and this. So really cool to see that.
Yeah, that's really awesome. So you guys recently just had an Overwatch event. How did that actually go down exactly?
Yeah, we last night, so March 25th, we had our second qualifier match for our season one Overwatch. And it, you know, it's the second one that we had this season, and it really outdid the first one already. I mean, you know, two extra teams, but those two extra teams were really enough to kind of create kind of more life in the event. And I think everyone had a comment like, this was so much fun. We had a blast. Let's do this again. Like the team that won, I was messaging and they're like, oh, the championships in Maine, we're in for free. Hell yeah. We're blocking it out in our calendar. So they're ready to play in the championship already. So, you know, the teams that get to play, I think have had a blast doing it. And our organizer, Haley, she said she was overwhelmed at times, but every time we wrap it up and we have a little call afterwards, you know, she's just ecstatic about how it went and how much fun she had and how much she's learning. And it's just been exciting to be involved in kind of all these new players and new competitors and new game organizers kind of learning together and building together and just having a blast. And then not to mention our analytics side, which we talked about a little bit, our analytics social media team is having a blast with yesterday's tweets and stats and impressions. So they're definitely experimenting and having fun with that. So I'd say overall the event went really, really well, and we're really excited for the next one.
Well, we definitely geek out on the numbers because, like we talk about, you know, if we're going to be out here offering services for other, you know, organizations and esports teams and things like that, well, we have to know that stuff inside and out so that we can show them, you know, hey, this is what you do and this is what works and this is, you know, this is the schedule you should be following and this is what kind of content you should have in there. And, you know, having that, it's one thing to say you know about it. It's another thing to actually have the numbers and say, hey, this is how you do it. And here's the proof of, you know, that it works. So we have that, which is awesome.
It's got to be a really good feeling to see it all coming together like that.
It's huge. We Matt and I, you know, last night, right after the tournament, it was the word we use is progress, right? I mean, definitely after that tournament last night, you know, every single week, what we keep seeing is just progress, just forward progress, momentum picking up. I mean, all these interviews we're getting for people applying are just, I mean, they're just awesome. And I'm not joking
right now.
Literally one just came through as we're sitting here. Yeah, I mean, we got an application come through, so you know, it's just, yeah, it's killer, man. I mean, we excited just doesn't even, it's not even containable at this point, just a few months in.
What's really,
I mean, I can awesome. Hear it in your voices, even just
yeah, what's awesome about it too is, you know, Brett used the word growth, and it's or, you know, progress, growth, it those two words kind of go hand in hand, and we're seeing that in different parts of what we're doing. So it's not constantly the social media that's growing and nothing else. It's not constantly the events. It's not constantly the services. There's always something kind of developing, and different pieces of this are kind of expanding and getting traction. And then it's really awesome to see. And because it's kind of spread out a little bit, we're adapting to it, I think, pretty well. And approaching those hurdles with ideas and excitement in mind. So the progress we've made in just the last 3 months has been phenomenal and just a blast.
And you guys are streaming these events on Twitch too, right?
Yes. Yep.
Every event.
Every tournament will be streamed on our Twitch page, on the Latency page, which is, you know, we hope to, which we're getting there already, develop where it's almost like a channel. You can tune in and know that there's action going on. Like, you know, we've got tournaments kind of going on all the time. And like I said, they are all on there, which is one of the other big things that, you know, that I really recognize is I like to watch competition. I mean, I can't be the only one that, you know, can scroll through channels or scroll through YouTube and go, oh man, it's competitive frog racing. And I find myself, I've never seen that, but I find myself watching it because like, oh man, it's crazy. Look what's happening. It's like the Olympics. You're watching things that you don't even know are sports, but you get right. like caught up in the competition. So for us and for me, one of the things we found was like, you know, I can jump on one of these automated tournament host websites, Battlefy, and there's a bunch of them on there. And there's tournaments that are happening all the time. There might be a tournament happening right now, and I have no way to find it. I can't watch it. I can't participate maybe because I missed it. I have no idea what's happening. I can't spectate it or anything. So that's what we wanted to do, was create a way for people to, like, if there's a Latency tournament going on, you're going to find it on our Twitch page. So it's not that you just see that the tournament is happening, you know, on our website and in our Discord. You can watch the whole thing. You just watch it live.
So what are you guys doing for like a spectator experience with all of that? Like, how are you guys trying to make it really appealing to somebody who might just come across it randomly?
Yeah, so that ties back to what we were saying about our tournament organizers and them kind of having creative freedom. We always precedent the conversations about setting up the season that the tournament organizer gets to do what they want with the live feed. They're the one running it. So we're not going to limit them. We're going to do our best to kind of provide them exactly what they want to make it their own. So, you know, some of our casters or some of our TOs have, we always request that one person on every team streams for this reason. You know, one of our TOs just hops between streams. It's a good way to kind of meet the teams that are competing. And it gives the tournament organizer the ability to kind of focus on the admin stuff. But what Haley does for Overwatch is fantastic too. So a lot of these games have built-in observer roles or spectator roles. So for Overwatch, that's what she does. She kind of floats around the map and watches different encounters, and she'll have a caster or two on that know about the game or passionate about the game, and they're kind of following along, providing color commentary. So yeah, our TOs kind of make the stream experience very customized and creative, and you each one's unique essentially.
The coolest thing that for me is that every tournament we've had so far, we've had positive comments about the casting. I mean, every single time, where it's like, oh my gosh, who are these casters? Like yesterday's tournament, last night's Overwatch tournament, we had several questions and just in the Twitch chat, like, who is casting this tournament right now? This is awesome. And it was Haley, right? The TO, she mm-hmm. was involved. Then we brought in a Vegas Sun, which is actually our video editor, but he's got so much Overwatch knowledge that he was like, man, can I come on and cast this? And Haley's like, yeah, come on, let's do it. And then they brought in Divine as a third one as well, kind of in the early games. So you know, and again, all we got was positive feedback on what they were doing, because it wasn't just, you know, push start streaming and let the tournament play. You were actually able to watch and really kind of learn what's going on. And of course, they're always watching chat. They're always able to kind of respond to people's questions in there and clarifications. And so you really always know what's going on in these tournaments, even for a game like Overwatch, when I have actually no idea what's going on in that game, but right. I can watch the tournament and I can, you know, I can follow along and keep up. And it's crazy how, and I kind of mentioned this earlier, it's crazy how even something I don't know anything about, the competitive aspect to it, whenever it's, you know, whenever it's portrayed by someone with the passion that these guys have for the games, like Vegas and like Haley, whenever they're able to like portray that through the stream, you still get excited, even though it's something that you might not even know exactly what's going on.
Oh yeah. I mean, good commentary is huge for that kind of thing. Anybody that watches sports will know, like, if you have your team that you follow, and sometimes you'll have good broadcasters, good commentary on there, and sometimes you'll have commentary that's not so great that you just kind of would press mute and then, you know, just watch what's happening, because sometimes bad commentary will really pull you out of a game. If you've got somebody that's really passionate about it, even if they don't necessarily have a lot of history with doing commentary, would, as long as they're passionate about it, that would go a lot further than having somebody that's just kind of, I'm going to say what's happening right now, because you also need them to get really excited with something really exciting actually happens in game.
Definitely.
And somebody who's just observing and saying what's happening, that's not gonna, you know, maybe go through as well.
That's kind of your play-by-play. And shout out to Aiden too, our Halo organizer, who did an absolutely phenomenal job on the last Halo tournament. I mean, he completely crushed it, pretty much solo. I popped in and said a few things here and there, but someone said to me actually, like, man, it's crazy they got you to not talk so much. He was doing a good job. I was like, man, he was crushing it. Yeah, it was awesome. So far our game or game managers themselves have actually been participating in the casting, which has been really, really cool because they're so knowledgeable of the game. Obviously, we pick people out based on, like I said, their passion and their knowledge for a certain game. They're handpicked for this game. It's not like we don't have anybody doing multiple games for a reason. We want them to be involved with each of these communities. And it's really tough to do that whenever you're a part of, you know, several different games. So you'll know that each game manager, tournament organizer, whatever you want to call them, is dedicated to that game only.
Don't want to stretch somebody too thin.
Exactly. And you want to make sure that, again, that whatever it is that they have the passion for, that's where they're placed. And, you know, and again, it keeps them more engaged with their community. Essentially, it's their community within Latency. You know, their game, their Valorant or Overwatch or, you know, Halo, it's their community. So they're the ones setting up the tournament. They're the ones communicating with all the players within Latency. So it's really cool.
Real quick, if you had to give someone who's never watched esports at all as a spectator, maybe they've heard about it, maybe they're curious about it, they've probably watched sports at some point in the past, how would you... what would you say to them to convince them to turn on the stream, to give it a shot?
I like that question, right? Because it's like, how do you bridge the gap between... that's like the battle in esports. That was the initial thing. It was, well, those are just video games, so those don't count as a sport, right? That was the toxic mentality, right? Even just a couple of years ago. And it's kind of slowly developed from then. And I would say, you know, if you're looking at esports and you're looking at competitive gaming and you've even watched one sporting event in the past and you enjoyed it, taking that leap to watching esports is so unique, because it's probably one of the only sports where you really get to see the personality of the players in what they do at every moment. Football's great. I love football. Don't get me wrong, American football. But you really only see people's personality when they score and outside of the game. esports, it's the other way around. You really see kind of people making it their own and being creative and making amazing play, making that leap and watching esports and watching our streams specifically that are always different. It is 1000% worth it. You'll never see one thing happen that you have seen before. It's always different, and it's exciting.
You know, and to add to that, perfect answer, but to add to that, you know, let's say you play, and I'm going to use Overwatch because that tournament just happened. Like, let's say you're a player in Overwatch, right? And you know, you're a pretty good player. You think you do pretty well. Well, you can jump in and watch something like an esports event, and you can actually learn things from that because you're someone who plays it regularly. Like if I watch NFL football, which I do, I watch it a bunch. There's nothing really, I mean, I can't take that and I can't go apply it out in my front yard when I'm playing with my friends, right? I don't play on a competitive team, so there's nothing really for me to learn from that. But esports is not like that at all. These games are accessible to everyone. So you can watch Halo, and I mean, even in the last Halo tournament, I was like, wait, you can jump from there to there? I didn't know you can make that jump. Oh, sweet. All right, I'm going to try it next time I play. So you're able to actually like learn so much, especially when you're watching a game that you already play. I mean, if that wasn't a big deal, people wouldn't watch how-to videos on YouTube all the time. Like, how to do this? How do I get better? What are tips and tricks? Well, you want to learn how to get tips and tricks? Watch these guys playing it. I mean, watch people playing it in a competitive scene, and you'll see tips and tricks constantly, even if you're not looking for them. So to me, that's one of the things that I love to watch games that I already play in a competitive aspect and just get to like learn new techniques and new tips and things that I didn't know existed.
I guess too, like because a lot of people that watch sporting events and all, they're also looking for some of the stories that kind of creep up in between things, like, you know, a certain players, you know, are they going to come back from injury and things like that. And there are definitely stories that will appear in esports too, especially if you're watching a tournament type environment like what you guys are creating, right? You'll see stories sometimes happen, creep up with certain players that can follow them, or teams that can follow them throughout rounds, and like, hey, are these two teams going to end up meeting up at some point? You know, like they faced off in a previous tournament, they may, you know, like it went this way, and you know, there's a lot of different examples of how that could play out that could be really exciting for anybody that's never watched esports. I definitely recommend at least checking out something at some point, kind of giving it a shot. I know it might sound strange if you haven't ever done it, but trust me, if sports appeal to you, then this probably will as well.
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement.
100%.
Also, you guys do a lot of stuff with branding. Like, even I noticed on your website, you guys offer like consulting for helping people grow their brands. Could you explain a little bit what that's about?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where the idea of Latency came from. The original name of Latency was Esport and Tournament Consultants. That was kind of what brought everyone together. So we, you know, there's these, the analogy I like to use, and it's less of an analogy, more of an explanation, is, you know, I could go to Fiverr and I could get any number of services. I could get a graphic logo done. I could get stream overlays. I could get some free social media marketing for a couple days. It's very easy to go to a million different places to get a million different things. But there isn't really one company to go to as an esport organization or content creator or streamer that will sit down with me and build me a package that will completely encompass what I need to do to be successful. Whether it's branding, whether it's managing social media, or even tournament production, we will find a way to help you be better at your craft. Even if it's just, you know, consulting here or there, we've made the mistakes. We've had successes. We've done enough in esports and gaming and content creation to tell you what not to do and to help to provide guidance to get you to where you want to be. So that those are kind of those services that we've offered. And whether it's branding, marketing, you know, social media, or just esport consultation, we can customize it to kind of whatever you're looking for. We've got the background, so we're here to help.
So anybody that's just involved in anything essentially around, I'm guessing, like gaming or, you know, content creation. So streamers, YouTubers, even possibly other podcasters.
Yeah, definitely. I like the way you kind of slid that one in there, but definitely. I mean, you know, we've kind of built this team, and I'll maybe do a quick shout out here to the team that we have currently. Obviously, we're always interviewing, looking for more game managers and such. But obviously, we've already mentioned Jacob. He does a lot of our media stuff, right? So he is a guru when it comes to analytics. The guy just knows it inside and out for Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you name it, TikTok. And then also a part of the media team is we have Eleanor, who is, I mean, she's been creating TikToks and pulling these little snippets and adding them into Instagram and constantly posting. You know, we're using kind of their tools and also some third-party tools that make that stuff really, really awesome for scheduling and things like that. And Eleanor is really, really good with knowing like which piece of content to put on which platform and how it should look and how it should be formatted and all of that. So she does a great job with that. And then, of course, we've got an in-house graphic designer. He is famous and or notorious. He's also been on this podcast. His name is Locke. So he is our in-house professional graphic design. He has done our work. He's done work for some of our clients. He's done work for streamers, content creators. I mean, he has done so much stuff. We brought him in, of course, you know, first choice there for that. And then we've got good work.
So
he's awesome, dude. He really is. So having him as part of the team, I mean, he loves working with us with you know, Matt and I, and our goal is just to continue to bring him kind of, you know, more work. I mean, we want him to be doing this all the time just for us, you know, and our clients. So, and then of course we've got, you know, a little bit on the marketing team. We've got, Bentley and Tyler, and they're the ones doing outreach to sponsors and talking about what we can do and kind of bringing other companies kind of into the fold for us. We already mentioned our game managers. We've got Aiden, which I mentioned briefly for Halo. We've got Haley for Overwatch right now. Got a couple more on the way. We won't mention their names right now. And then we have our writing team, which consists of Mariana or Wolfie, and who does most of our just kind of general gaming correspondence. So we have a blog that's up regularly on our website, where you can just get gaming news, gaming content, kind of generically, and then also esports stuff, which is where Jacob comes into play because of his esports knowledge as well. So he's kind of doing our esports correspondence on there as well. And then we briefly mentioned Vegas Sun, Nick, who does our video editing. So he will be the one pulling all the highlights from these tournaments and getting them ready for Eleanor and maybe for Jacob to get posting. And then also on the side, apparently he does Overwatch casting because he did such an awesome job with that last night. And then Matt and I, but just wanted to make sure we mentioned the whole team in there. I probably answered your question, but then I probably also strayed.
Great answer. But yeah, this is all really awesome stuff. I think we're running out of time though. But thank you guys both so much for coming on here to talk about this. Before we start to wrap up, though, real quick, I do want to ask if there's anything that we may have glossed over that you guys want to make sure are covered before we wrap up.
I would say the only thing to just kind of encompass what we talked about was if you listen to this and you stumble into our Discord or on our website and you don't see a game that you're interested in, don't be afraid to let us know. We're always looking for feedback and input, and we really, really value our community's involvement in what we do. So if you're interested in playing in a tournament and you're a casual player or just looking to get into competitive stuff, don't be afraid to come over and reach out and we'll see what we can get you into.
And the flip side of that is if you're looking to get into the esports scene, maybe in any sort of non-player type of role, definitely feel free to reach out to us too. I mean, like I said, you know, we're always looking for people that share our passion for maybe a particular community or a particular game. So we'd love to have them on the team, set up an interview. Matt and I are always involved in those. And then just in general in esports, I mean, like I said, you know, we've got, our Discord is so diverse between competitors, you know, esports organizations that are actually in there. We've got partners that are in there that do all kinds of different things. So, you know, definitely kind of look us up and maybe jump on the website. It's latency, latency.com. So latency.com, you can go there. You can find all of our info from there. We're Latency everywhere. Latency on YouTube, Latency, Twitter, Instagram. We've got the same name everywhere. And our Discord, you can find it there. And yeah, I mean, definitely if you're interested in any way in the competitive scene, and even if you don't want to call it esports, that's fine. Just in the competitive scene or just in general in gaming, I feel like we're a good spot to land. You know, just check us out, look us up, join the Discord, say hi. You know, everyone, the team always likes to welcome everyone who comes in. So love to see you.
All right. Awesome. Of course, before we wrap up here, is there anything you guys would like to promote? Obviously, you know, everything you just mentioned with Latency, but anything else, any social media stuff?
I mean, we've got a presence on almost every single platform, and I would say every single platform has something unique and different on it. So, you know, if you're just into reading articles, our website, Facebook, LinkedIn, those have articles for you. If you're looking for really quick clips, head on over to our TikTok. And if you just want to watch event highlights, our YouTube's got all that. So, you know, whatever type of content you'd like to consume, one of our social media platforms has it for you. So,
and to add to that, definitely all the Latency stuff. But if you haven't already, I'm not getting paid to say this, but if you're listening to the All the Gaming podcast and you haven't left a review somewhere, please make sure you do that for Dale. It helps him out. You know, we've got to make sure we keep engaged with his podcast because he does an awesome job, brings in awesome guests constantly. I mean, I have told so many people about this podcast, and not just because Dale lets me hang out in here every once in a while. I think I'm almost a recurring character at this point. That, like, if this was a sitcom, would I be a recurring character? I think.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. So
you'd get like the special guest.
Yeah. Right. Special guest star. Yes, yeah. Yeah. So, but definitely, I mean, you know, make sure to take care of Dale, and Sanicat for his podcast, because he just does an awesome job within the community of capturing probably the most diverse list of guests and all types. I mean, literally, when it's called All the Gaming, he means all the gaming. It's everything gaming related. So make sure you give him the recognition he deserves.
All right. I really appreciate that. And thanks again to both of you for coming on here. This has been a lot of fun. There's definitely a lot in there that I didn't know, not just about Latency, but just esports in general. I think this is a really interesting conversation. And yeah, anyway, thanks everybody for listening, of course. You know, go follow us on Twitter at AllTheGaming1. Come like our Facebook page and join our Facebook group. And of course, come join our Discord server. Come join in on the discussion. It'll be fun, like listening to this, except you can participate. And of course, go check out all of our past episodes on all of the major podcasting platforms, wherever you get your podcasts. If you can't find us, reach out, let me know, whatever platform you can't find All the Gaming on, and I will see if I can get it up there. And of course, if you want to support the podcast another way, go check out the All the Gaming merch store. And also, I'm going to leave the link to the Latency website in the description for this podcast, so definitely go check it out. These guys have been fantastic on here, and I'm actually really excited to see what they do in the future, because it sounds like they're doing a lot of really awesome stuff right now. And anyway, thanks everybody for listening, and we will see you next time.